Om Shanti, and welcome to today's session. We're going to have conversations between Brother Charlie and Sister Maureen on experiences with Bap Dada. Both these souls are original, or shall I say pioneering, double foreigners who came to Baba in the 70s. Brother Charlie from Australia was seeking God and traveling, must have traveled more than 3/4 of the world, from a mosque to a temple to a Hare Krishna, and looking for God, seeking God, and ultimately found God in London in a small apartment. Sister Maureen was a householder. Technically still a householder, but dedicated fully to Baba. And she also had a very strong desire to meet God. And guess what? She met God. So both the souls have a lot of deep experiences with Baba, from having come to Baba from 70s. So today we're going to extract some jewels and diamonds from them. Thank you.
So thank you. Thank you very much, Perkin. It's the night before Baba, the eve before God's descent for the first meeting of the season. And I don't know about you, but it's always I love this time of year. It's a very special time because I come early for peace of mind, but in the last few days, so many of Baba's family have come from all corners of the world. Each time I go to the dining room, I see new faces. And I feel it's really very, very special because the atmosphere is building for tomorrow night. Do you feel that? Do you feel the energy in the family, the excitement of meeting Baba? And Baba's day, when Baba comes, I've always loved, because everyone gets dressed up in their best sari or their best kurta pajama. And and somehow it's almost like everyone's preparing to meet their specially beloved one. I remember once thinking it's almost like we're preparing for our marriage or something. Everyone looks so special. And I've had the experience a few times of standing on the stage in Diamond Hall and just seeing that incredible scene of 20 or 30,000 faces, all sparkling. And no matter what the age, everyone looks like a child. Baba has this magic of bringing out that feeling in us. So we thought, just because it's the night before, that Maureen and I would just share a few of our experiences over the years, over 40 years of meeting Baba. And then at 6:30 we will have some meditation. At 7 o'clock some of the RCs are going to join us, so we'll have an hour's yoga buddy to really get into that right frame of mind. So I'm going to kick off. I don't know really how this is going to happen, but
it'll happen.
And ask Maureen, you know, what are your feelings at the moment? What's your anticipation for tomorrow night, the first meeting of this season? What's in your heart at the moment?
Well, just first of all, nice to be here. Thank you for the welcome. And yes, it is always very special to think about what that presence will be like in front of us at the beginning of the season. And what happens at the beginning of the season seems to give us an indication for the whole season, doesn't it? And I have to say, I met Dadi Gulzar yesterday and she really does look well.
Mm.
She does look well. And I'm thinking that when Baba comes, there are two things I love to experience from Baba. One is that intimacy or closeness. And it was interesting that a few days ago in the Murali, Baba said, you can't have love through inspiration. And he was so clearly explaining how he has to come in a practical way and love us. You know, and of course, Baba's not in front of us every day like Sakar Baba was, but it's that understanding of course, the relationship through Brahma Baba, that of that Sakar form and that love. So, you know, it's always a very close, intimate feeling. And I think it doesn't matter, you're sitting here, you're sitting there, it's, you know, Baba's vibrations unlimited. Or sitting in London watching, same kind of intimate feeling. And I guess the other thing, an inspiration in the sense of, you know, I listen to Baba and there's something that I hear Baba say and I say, okay, that's setting me in a certain direction. You know, I'm always looking for a direction. I don't mean a direction in terms of do this, do that, but a direction in terms of where's the next wave or what is the next trend that I, or, you know, direction I need to go in. And then, of course, I can fill in the details with Baba, but I think these two things, I'm curious, I'm looking forward to that closeness. I mean, I feel it, but, you know, and I'm interested to see what signal really Baba's going to give us. And we have to catch the signal, don't we?
Hmm.
I mean, what do you feel? What are you feeling right now?
Yeah, I'm not really sure in one sense, because the past was so predictable. Mm. You know, when Baba, I think, you know, we would sit in meditation and Dadi Gulzar would come in. And I always love that whole process, you know, the jerk. And she goes off and the atmosphere in the hall is just so wonderful when that happens. And then Baba comes and meets everyone through the eyes. And I often used to get the feeling it's like Baba is spraying the room with all his colors of his qualities, but also picking up the whole sort of feeling in the family and how to respond. And then I always loved it, that first word, Aj, you know, Aj. Baba would always begin, you know, today, Bap Dada. That, it was so predictable. But recently, even I think last year or the year before, Baba began with Om Shanti.
That's right, yes, quite different.
Or even Baba just began to speak. But I like it that, you know, things are changing. But I suppose, no matter what, there's always that feeling in me, the wonder. And I feel it's important to sit with that sense of wonder that we are witnessing God's descent into the physical world. Don't you think? I mean, how extraordinary. And sometimes I think it's easy to become a little bit familiar with that, but just to hold that thought. In eternity, there's only a small window of time that God descends, and we're witnesses to that. And how to prepare myself to feel what Baba is going to give. And I really love what Maureen said, because often right at the beginning of the season, Baba gives a signal as to what he wants from us. And so I think it's all very exciting, those sort of feelings. And but I was wondering, can you share with us what was your first meeting with Baba and what was your experience? And
well, actually, I was going to just say that in response. You know, you were talking about the jerk and the, you know, because when I first came, 1976, I think you first met Baba in 1975, so a smaller group, even though we were a very small group too. And those days, you didn't have, you know, the videos or the transmissions, so you really didn't know what to expect. You know, you just know God's going to come, and you're like, you know, you're in the sky somewhere, you know. And I remember sitting there, my first meeting was in the meditation hall, and I remember sitting there, we were quite near the front, and Daddy Gosar comes in, and when she went into trance, my heart went boom. God's coming, God's coming. You know, you think the whole place will explode or something, you know. And then when the eyes, her eyes opened, or then Baba's eyes opened, it's just so gentle, so gentle. I mean, amazing. And Perkin mentioned being a householder. I don't know that I'd still give myself that title, but anyway. But at that point, yes, David and I were very much together, meeting Baba for the first time. I think you all know Brother David from UK. And we went in front of Baba, and Baba looked at us and asked us straight, "Do you have any attachment?"
Was that the first question?
I think that was the first thing. I mean, I remember, maybe it's my memory, but I think it's the first thing Baba said to us. And David said, "Not at all, no." And I said, "A little bit, Baba." And then Baba said something very sweet. Baba said, "Never mind. Baba will make you both examples in front of the world." So it was very sweet. So, you know, I'm sure you found too that in those early days, Baba would kind of give you signals of the future. You couldn't understand it at that time, but later on, you begin to see how it fits together. Did you find that also? Because what did Baba say to you, first of all?
My first meeting, I arrived in Madhuban, and the next day Baba came, because in those days, I think as everyone knows, that Baba came, it's hard for me to remember, but every second or third night for periods.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was every second night, and it was early December 1975, and my first meeting was in the History Hall. And my memory was there was about 50 or 60 people there, and we were three double foreigners. And Baba spoke the Muli, and then we were asked to come and sit in front of Baba. And I've often shared this story because I think our first personal meeting has such an extraordinary impact. Because Baba, I must admit, I was a little bit the same. My heart was a bit like... Because I don't think you're sure what to really expect. But, you know, Baba meets with Drishti. And I had an incredible experience of just being like an open book. And Baba looking deep into that book, like deep into the memory track of the soul. And his vision sort of fell on a part of me. And I sometimes sort of think of it was like the original me or the elevated me, and massage it to the surface and introduced me to who I really was. And I can honestly say something shifted in me that night. Something about my self-respect changed, because somehow I sort of stepped out of my vision on myself and I got a taste of God's vision and how He was looking at me. And it was such an uplifting feeling. I felt so uplifted. And then Baba asked me two questions. I was probably about 3 months in Gyan, maybe 4 months. And Baba said to me, "Do you have one Shiv Baba and none other?" And I went, "Yes." Because you can't say no to Baba. It's like, because he feels that, I think when Baba asked questions, I always got the feeling he could see your future, maybe not the present, but he's talking about your potential perhaps. It's not really where you're at the moment. And then his second question was, "Are you stable on drama?" And I went, "Yes."
Not knowing what was to come.
Imagine 3 months in Gyan. But I think it's like, in a way, when I reflect on those questions, it was almost like Baba set a path for me in my spiritual life where he wanted me to go, and perhaps what I needed to learn, you know, on my spiritual journey. But that first meeting, and I spent 6 weeks in Madhuban that time, and we met so many times, but that first meeting has a very special memory.
I remember something that Baba said to you that I really also took for myself. I don't know what year, what point, But Baba said to you, you're a soul who never misuses blessings. Do you remember that?
Mm.
And I was so struck by that. And, you know, that feeling that, you know, there's no complacency, Baba's given me a blessing. It's something to use to give me power to deeply appreciate, to, you know, take it as such an honor, you know, right?
Mm.
I mean, how did you take that? What Baba said to you, because if whatever else, I loved it, I'm sure many others.
I think there was so much discussion about what, even I was wondering what Baba meant.
Right.
But I think it was that thing that when Baba, you know, in those days you'd sit in front of Baba, Baba would give drishti. And in fact, the whole process, wasn't it, that, you know, Baba would speak the muli, and if it was a country's turn, the whole country would come on the stage and sit around Baba. And then Baba would speak about service or something, and each individual would come in front. And when Baba said that to me, I took it, I suppose, that when Baba gives you a blessing, he is sort of giving you the hint of what you can become. He's not saying you are that. He's saying, child, this is what he sees in your future, in your fortune. The one who knows the three aspects of time is looking into your story. That's how I took it. How did you understand it?
Yeah, well, like I said, that this sort of deep appreciation and not saying, oh, well, I'm that, you know, same in a way. Because I remember for many years, well, not many years, two or three years running, Baba would say Nashtamoha, detached, you know, referring to the relationship me and David, and saying, you don't remember that one even in dreams, do you? You know? And I went like this, and Baba went like this. and then I asked Gentiben, I said, why does Baba say that every time? That was very innocent. And she said, well, Baba's giving you a certificate, but also underlining what you need to do more for the future. And then after that, Baba didn't say it.
Mm.
So, you know, we just take time to absorb and to respond, I think, in the right way to what Baba's saying to us.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Because we're all going through such a process of change, of purification, I feel it like, you know, we're peeling back layers in ourselves. And so what the Murli and my relationship with Baba means to me today is so different to 10 years ago, 20 years ago, etc., etc. Not because Baba has a better stage, or but, you know, we are clearing away those layers. So we absorb things in a different way. Things become so much more meaningful. And I think this is why, above everything else, is our stage, isn't it? You know. And also, we can't depend on those things because, okay, we were very lucky, and many in this gathering, to have had those personal meetings. But I don't know how you reacted when the personal meetings stopped, but I reacted quite badly, actually. It was interesting that the last personal meetings were in 1988. And so then the next year, of course, Baba didn't come because Daddy Gozal was unwell. And then the next year, Baba came. And then it was groups meeting Baba. Now, I mean, today that's like the biggest fortune, you know. We were so spoilt, actually.
Mm.
And we met Baba as a group. And, of course, no personal meeting. I was... I missed it so much. In Om Shanti Bhavan, you have the translation room. So I went up there, I found a dark corner, and I cried and cried. So the next day, I thought, well, I better go and confess this to somebody. So I went to see Daddy Gulzar, and I said to Daddy, this is what happened. And she looked at me and she said, well, you don't have a subtle connection with Baba, do you? I said, yes, Daddy, right. So it's so interesting how Baba is making us have the real thing, you know, which is the subtle connection. The Sakar connection is the real thing too, not that it isn't, but, you know, Baba trained Daddy Janki in to be so reliant on the subtle connection so many different ways, even when Baba was Sakar. And so it was a big, big lesson for me. What happened to you when the personal meeting stopped? Did you just accept it? And
I think so, yeah.
Oh, are you good? You see, I took time.
I can't really remember well, but...
Well, if you had had a wobbly, then you'd remember. I had a wobbly, that's what I remember.
But those days were quite unique because we would come for the season, and as we're saying, Bab would come every second or third day. And often what the season meant was that, you know, Baba would come and he would meet groups until the early morning hours, and sometimes till 2 a.m., sometimes till 4 a.m.
Do you remember once?
Once he went to 10 a.m., that right? Once Baba met from 6 p.m. to 10 a.m., sitting in Daddy Gulzar's body.
And he inaugurated Sukhdam that time.
Was that the time, was it?
Yeah, he came out onto the balcony, and by that time it was bright morning sun.
Really?
I remember that, yeah, amazing.
But our Brahman season was like meeting Baba, and we'd often stay up all night because we loved to hear what Baba said to everyone. Then we'd rest the next day to prepare to stay up all night to meet Baba.
That's right, yeah.
Once again. But I was wondering, what are your most special memories? What was a meeting of yourself or even someone else that really left a deep impact or deep impression on you?
Well, I guess so many did, but apologies, others have heard this story, but we all like stories, don't we? It must have been 1982, and I had moved to London. Maybe it was then 83 when I met Baba, anyway, around that time. And, you know, I was new in that role in the office, and I think the only title I could give myself then was the Ocean of Mistakes, probably, you know, when you're struggling to do things. And... Anyway, I went in front of Baba, and of course Baba reads the soul. Nobody tells Baba anything. Baba reads the soul, and Baba looked at me. Baba said that, "You're a good soul. You have good sanskaras, and don't worry." I mean, something to this effect. Baba say that you're just a little bit innocent. You know, in other words, you're not doing things wrong because you have a bad intention, you know, you just don't quite get it, you know. And then Baba looked at me, Baba said, "But never mind, the hand of Bolanath, the innocent Lord, is on the head of his innocent children." That was so sweet, so sweet. You know, it was like Baba saying to me, "Look, don't worry. You make the mistakes, it's fine, I'll put them right." You know, it was really... And it did happen a lot. I'd make a mistake and it would turn out better afterwards. But I really felt Baba's love. And Baba had said to me at another point, much, much later on, that Baba's giving you drishti in between. Baba has his eyes on you. I would feel that. And then... I said to Baba, in those days we would chat with Baba, and I said to Baba, "Daddy Janki's always telling me to become more mature."
You said to Baba?
I said that to Baba. So this is like, you know, when you're a little bit innocent, you haven't got that maturity to really understand the situations and what's needed. And Baba paused. You remember that Baba would often, you say something to Baba and Baba would sort of pause and go back slightly, you know, and then... And Baba said, "Whenever you hear a direction or an instruction, don't just listen to the words, but listen to the meaning behind the words." and in that way you will become mature. And it felt as if Baba opened up something in my intellect at that time, you know, like you were saying, he doesn't just speak to you, but if you're open, he does something, you know. And things were different after that, except that I know when I got back to London and I made my next round of mistakes, I said to Sister Jenty, remember my blessing, and she told me, don't misuse your blessing. but it was like Baba helped me to come to the next level, to have greater understanding. It was really, that was very, I mean, many special meetings, but that was very special. What about you?
Yeah, I think I had a similar experience because in 1980 I moved from Melbourne to Sydney. And when I arrived in Sydney, you could imagine everyone at that time was very young and very new. And I sat in front of Baba, and Baba gave me drishti, and he said, is everyone happy with you?
Oh.
And there had been a bit of a scene going on before I came. There had been a brother's house, and there was some things going on in that house. I didn't say a word. I didn't answer Baba. And Baba said, and this is just the beauty of Baba, and he is so reassuring. Baba said to me, the majority are happy. And then he said, some aren't even happy with Bap Dada.
Oh, how sweet.
So he was trying to make me feel good.
Then he went
on to say why. He said, sometimes Baba meets someone for 10 minutes and someone for 5 minutes. You know, so he's saying why some aren't happy with Bap Dada. So he was reassuring me. And I feel that was how, like the loving mother, Baba really sort of was so reassuring and made me feel so good. But I have one memory, and I've shared this so many times, but I'd been to Didi Manmohini, went to New York in 1980, and I went and I came back through India, and I was in Madhuban, and all the senior sisters had come for a meeting. And there wasn't a scheduled meeting for Baba. And Daddy Prakashmani was reading the Mauli. And she was reading the Mauli, and you know how Daddy's Mauli was so lively. And she kept seeing all the sisters, all the original sisters, and she kept saying, all your viewer here, Baba should come and meet you. And she said it two or three times during the Mauli, and then at the end of the Mauli, she said, Gulzar, come. She just got Daddy Gulzar up onto the gadi and say, go to Baba.
Oh, right there and then. Wow.
And this is like 8 o'clock in the morning. And it was spontaneous. It was just like, and Daddy Gulzar went and Baba came. And what I remember was that it was in the meditation hall in Pandav Bhavan. And Baba just said, Baba hasn't come to speak the Mauli. Baba's come to fulfill the love of the children.
Mm.
And it's a scene, you know, some of the scenes of Sangam Yuga so deeply etched, because all these sisters came up to Baba and most of them lay across his lap of the Yatvap Dada. And
wow.
I was just sitting right in front, just watching, and Baba held their face and stroked their face and stroked their head. And he gave so much love. And I began to realize why, I think at that moment I saw why these souls became like they did, why they could let go everything and step out of their lack of self-respect into God's vision, you know, because I just saw, and each one, and I remember thinking, each one was a unique personality. Very different. Some are introverts, some are extroverts, some are this. And yet Baba's just fulfilled each soul. And I remember just feeling the power of that love and how that love has made those souls so incredibly powerful. And the spontaneity, it went on for 2 hours.
Did you grow up?
No.
Oh.
No, I got Toli and so on, but I didn't lie in Avyak Bhaktada's lap.
Oh.
It's not maybe a privilege brothers usually have.
Maybe next culture.
But it was one of those really beautiful scenes. And I think in those days, sometimes Baba would come spontaneously, a little bit like that. Mm.
So special. We met Baba in Baba's room once. Maybe you were there.
I went met Baba in Baba's room once. Yeah.
And Baba didn't speak the Murli. I mean, it was just a few words, and then Baba met us, and then Baba got off the gudi and sat on the floor. And Baba's room was, you know, where that wall comes out, where the chair is. There was a wall there, so Baba's room was very small those days. That was 1977, and Dee Dee was laughing. She said, "You double foreigners have come here and taught Baba movement," she said, because Baba came off the gudi and sat on the floor. And Baba had a picnic with us, and Baba fed us, we fed Baba. And then I had that exchange with Baba. And then I'm leaving, sort of turning around to go to back to my place, and I feel something tugging at my sari. And Didi says, "Baba, Baba," and I looked around, and Baba caught the tail of my sari to pull me back to give me another piece of tawli. It's just so sweet. But these are just little things, because you get that feeling of one is God incorporeal and almighty, and then you see the personality of Brahma Baba.
Yeah.
And how Baba would play with the children. And, you know, I remember once Baba saying to the Australian group, "Will you all sit on the throne? Will you all become Lakshmi and Narayan?" And everyone puts their hand up. And then Baba said, "Well, how can everyone be Lakshmi and Narayan? Is it that you'll have a turn sitting on the throne when Lakshmi and Narayan go out for their lunch? Do you remember that?" you know, you get this humour coming through, which is Brahma Baba's, you know, he had a great sense of humour. And sometimes I feel people take the Sakam really so seriously.
Yeah.
You know, you were monkeys, it's Baba's humour, you know, it's Baba's conversation with the children. But you see it coming through, you know, now when we see Abhiyat Bapdada, you see that personality. And it's so good to understand and, you know, experience and relate to that, you know, isn't it?
I think someone once said to me, "How can you love someone if they don't really have a sense of humour?" You know,
I think
it's true, because I remember one scene which was so sweet, that near the end of the evening, Baba was saying goodbye, and then Daddy Manohar Indra was sitting in front, and Baba gave her some tawli and said, "Give it to Gulzar when she comes back." And Daddy Manohar Indra took the tawli and went right in front of Bap Dada. She just swallowed the tawli with a, like a naughty little girl, you know. And the way Baba just smiled at her and just kept it like... I felt it was like a little window in the Saka days, you know,
yeah.
Like the way he was playing, and she felt she had the
Baba,
right.
Yeah.
And I've shared a story too once when, in the early days, I was, I can't even remember when it was. I could have been the first time I went, but the whole evening had, you know, Baba had met everybody and the feeding had begun. And Daddy Prakashmani said to me, "Say something to Baba." And I don't speak Hindi. So she began to say something, and I began to repeat it just blindly, you know. Just.
Oh.
So she said something in Hindi like, "Baba, I love you." So I repeated it in Hindi, and Baba was giving me drishti. And then she said, "You know, Baba, I've searched for you for so long, and now I've found you." And I just repeated it in Hindi. I didn't know what I was saying. I just repeated it blindly. Then Daddyji said something, and I repeated it. And everyone laughed, including Baba. Baba was laughing and laughing and laughing, because Daddy G had said in Hindi, "Baba, I'm a monkey." And I just looked at Baba, you know, like, and I said, "Baba, I'm a monkey." And it was really like such a sweet scene. And I think, and I was feeling how, like you say, sometimes the religious feeling of God is so serious, you know, and but this is God's family, and the way Baba sometimes was just the family feeling that Baba gave, and the lightness, and I think really made the feelings of closeness really.
Yes, I remember seeing when one soul was having a lot of mire about something, meeting in the history hall. So Baba called her, made him sit next to her, and as Baba was carrying on with the meetings, he kept her sitting there and sitting there. You know, it was like, you know, just normal, you know. Now you can hardly, you know, can't get on the stage anyway, it's fine. But, you know, it was very kind of...
So caring.
Yeah, intimate and caring. It was very sweet.
I remember once, too, there was one brother who came. I'm not sure what had happened in his life, but he wouldn't smile. And literally, he was around Madhavan for a whole week with this very stern face. Yeah, really. And he sat in front of Baba, and everyone was watching because we all knew something had happened, and he just hadn't smiled in the whole week. And it was just the most wonderful thing because Baba would not let him go till he smiled. Baba was talking to him and encouraging him, and still he was, you know. And after about 10 minutes, a big smile came to him, and the whole hall laughed. And it was really wonderful. But it was like the way Baba spoke to him in such a, you know, understanding way that this soul had been through something. And it was like a healing. It was like a... Baba was showing us his love was just healing the soul in front of everybody. It was extraordinary. He would not let him go until he smiled. Yeah.
It's beautiful. It's like actually also when those last meetings happened in 88, Baba spent a long time with everyone, if you remember. Mm. And Baba would ask a question like, you know, are you stable in your self-respect or whatever it was. And usually the answer would come back sometimes. Mm. And Baba didn't like it. And eventually Baba didn't need translation. He'd understood sometimes. And Baba would keep talking until the person said, yes, Baba, yes, Baba. Mm. You know, so like Baba...
What was the message? What was the message Baba was giving by doing that?
That, you know, don't stay in that... As I understood it, don't stay in that impression of yourself, that this is who I am. Mm. You know, like you were saying, Baba opening up that potential in you and making you see who you are. So Baba not taking a weak answer, because otherwise that weak answer would be reinforced in you. Mm. So Baba wouldn't accept a weak answer. Baba wanted a powerful answer, and that would be the answer then that's reinforced in you. That's what I understood.
Mm.
I don't know what you...
Mm.
Yeah. No. Because whatever we think, and you know, as you know, Baba said that recently in the Sakamarali, you become what you think.
Mm.
It was a couple of weeks ago. Powerful line.
I one scene I remember too, which really gave me a vision of how completely detached Baba is from the material world. We were sitting in the history hall and Baba was meeting, and when Baba was personally meeting, there was such a vibration of such a sweet feeling of love and belonging, you know. The atmosphere was just such a, I don't know, made you feel so close. And Baba was talking to somebody, and there was a soul, a double foreigner, who was unwell. And he had a kidney problem, I think. Anyway.
Oh, I remember.
Were you there?
I think so. French brother.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember.
And suddenly he screamed so loudly. You know, we're all sitting in this atmosphere. And he screamed like someone had put a knife in his back. You know, here we are sitting in front of Baba. And the whole hall went like this. You know, we all turned around really quickly. And Baba just kept speaking. And he finished his sentence to this soul and slowly looked over and said, is he okay? And I remember we were discussing afterwards how we are so programmed in the physical world to respond and react.
Mm.
And Baba showed love, Baba showed care, but he wasn't shocked, or he was just so beyond, and it was a real indication of just how beyond this physical atmosphere Baba
really is. Do you remember that scene? I remember that scene. I remember another scene, which I think was on Shanti Bhavan, I think, and somebody came on the stage and sat next to Baba on the gaddi.
Mm.
Of course, maybe a bit over-intoxicated. Baba just sat there, actually, he didn't really look at the person, but he just sat there, carried on, and then the teacher who knew that soul came up and gently spoke to him, and then he came down.
Mm.
But, for Baba, it's the drama, he's not, And one more scene, actually, it was a Shivratri meeting, and there were helium balloons on the stage. I don't know if you were there. And one of them exploded, went into, flames came out. The daddies were on the stage at that time. Everybody jumped, even the daddies. Baba didn't move a muscle.
Mm. Mm.
Nothing. As if it didn't happen. Incredible. Mm. So not even that human instinctive, reaction. Yeah.
I even remember once Baba was meeting an old mother. And this was in the meditation hall. And sometimes they had a little puff cushion and you'd sit there and Baba was talking to her. And suddenly she got so intoxicated, she jumped up and she hugged Baba. And Baba, and sort of pulled Baba off the gaddi, and Baba was sort of
slowly sliding.
And a few of the sisters jumped, but Baba's just was so uninfluenced by the scenes,
He didn't say, "Help me, help me."
No, it's really, really very sweet.
It's the scenes, aren't they?
And I'm just wondering, did Baba ever say anything to you about your future or service or anything like that?
Yeah, lots of times. But that meeting in Baba's room, 77, I came in front of Baba, and there had been quite a few tests in that year. So it was my second year in Gyan, or my second time to Madhuban. And Baba looked at me, Baba said, the one who has love can cross all obstacles, the first thing. And then Baba said to me, you're wearing the crown of responsibility of service. And again, we would chat with Baba, and I said to Baba, I hope it doesn't fall off. And Baba looked at me and Baba said, don't worry, it'll stay, and there'll be more. And more, and more. And that's true till today. Literally true till today. And of course, Baba then, it's not more burden. It's not like that. And Baba gives that power. But Baba was just seeing, I didn't know what will that responsibility be, whatever. And Baba talked to me another time about taking responsibility to look after people. It's interesting.
Hmm.
Interestingly enough, I was looking through some of my blessings recently, in fact, just within the past week, after a long time, and I found, you always find the ones you've forgotten, and there was one where Baba said, Baba now wants you to take responsibility. Baba's been giving you drishti in between. Baba wants you to look after everyone, not just the royal family. Baba's eyes are on you. I thought, oh my goodness. and that really made me think now. It's really made me think a lot, that blessing. I'd forgotten that blessing. And, I'm still pondering what Baba really means, what did Baba mean. But it was very interesting. It's interesting, some things because you're not ready for something, it doesn't have an impact, but later on, it has an impact. Do you find that? Do you go through your blessings sometimes?
Sometimes, if I have a little book, I've written most of them down. But I think in the early days, you were so used to it. I never wrote them down for the first few years. I think I
really?
Could remember. Yeah.
Oh, no, I've got most. I think I've got. Well, actually, I don't know, but I know for the mostly London group, but I think for others, I used, because I can write fast, and of course, you didn't have laptops and all that, and so I would be sitting there sometimes the whole night, you know. So I think I must see if there's any of yours somewhere.
No, I've got most of them, but Bamba does say things that open up a perspective that you hadn't really thought about. And once, when we were 10 years in Guam, the double foreigners who had been with Bamba for 10 years sat in front of Bamba. And Bamba said to us, "Tell me your specialty."
Oh, how beautiful.
He didn't, but none of us did. And then Bamba went through each one, and when he came to me, he said, "Your specialty is your love for Brahma, Bamba." And I'd always felt close, you know, when I first saw Brahma, Bamba, there was a familiarity. But I think that really opened up the importance of that relationship too, you know, because, you know, I felt from Shiv Bamba, you experience all that love and that closeness. But I think I began to reflect more on my relationship with Brahma Bamba and what I take. And I think a lot of it was his courage to face everything, absolutely everything. And I think that friendship with Brahma Bamba really grew from that time. And how Bamba can say something so small, but it opens up a part of you that perhaps you hadn't really explored before that time.
But I think this is such a key thing, isn't it? The relationship with Brahma Bamba.
Mm.
And sometimes when souls are not really able to have those deep experiences in yoga or loving experiences, and then you talk to someone, you find out, you know, Gyan, Chit Chat, find out what's happening for them, quite often it comes down to the fact that they don't feel a relationship with Brahma Bamba. And without that relationship, you can't take everything you need from Shiv Bamba. And it's like something's missing. Mm. Something hasn't opened up in your heart, you know.
Mm.
It's so crucial, so crucial. I mean, when I came in Gyan, I again came to Madhuban after about 3-4 months, so it was just the beginning part. But I guess being from Jewish background and you don't have any images, what's that man doing sitting there, you know? I'm connected to God, so I was apologized to Bamba when I say that. So I didn't like to look at him. But as soon as I stepped foot in Madhuban, literally in Pandavabhavan, I felt the relationship with Brahma Bamba and I felt his presence, and that was it. It literally, when I stepped foot in Pandavabhavan, it was incredible. Like as if that was all another world and this was a new world.
Mm.
It was so beautiful. So that's the other thing, you know, we meet Bamba, but the atmosphere of Madhuban is magic.
Mm.
The atmosphere of Madhuban is magic. And the atmosphere we feel today is the result of all the things that have happened in Madhuban. I mean, where else on earth has God come and spoken and been present? And I mean, you know, just stunning, stunning, isn't it?
just about talking about the future. I was sitting in front of Bamba with Brother Ken, and I was remembering this just the other day, and Bamba said, "One day you will experience a motor a minute." And it was the expression, I think, from Henry Ford when they started the assembly line of making cars. They called it a motor a minute. And Baba was referring to, you know, you'll see souls take birth spiritually. And I've often thought about that. You know, it seems, you know, it hasn't happened till this date. But Baba's seeing the future. I remember once Baba meeting the Australian group too, and Baba said, one day your place will just be islands. You know, you'll just, it'll sink beneath the sea. In the golden age, Australia will just be picnic spots. And Baba would often talk with things like that. It was quite lovely how sometimes Baba takes us into the future. And always you can see, you know, those things taking place, beginning to happen.
Yeah, everything, you know, I always feel everything that Baba says, Saka Muralis, Avyat Muralis, comes true.
Hmm.
Has to. Every single thing.
Hmm.
Has to.
And Maureen, over the years, you know, all the meetings have changed so much. You know, we're talking about those times that were sort of quite small and intimate. It's now with 30,000 of your nearest and dearest brothers and sisters.
Enjoy.
What is your feeling now? Do you feel the same? Is it different? What's your experience?
I love being in front of Baba and, you know, getting Baba's drishti when I do. I mean, it's not personal in that way. But sometimes you're in the big gathering and you feel Baba's attention on you. And I know I'm not the only one who says that. Many, many have said that to me. And that's, of course, the wonder of God, that there'll be 30,000 people, but people will feel Baba's attention on them, and they're drawing that from Baba. And I can see how my connection with Baba has become more and more subtle, because I have so much more a feeling of Baba's drishti on me a lot of the time, you know. And so a big difference to the time when I was waiting for the personal meeting, and then that's when Baba's drishti's on me, and I say, every year I want to take Baba's drishti. Well, you know, now I wouldn't say that. I don't take drishti once a year. You know, it's a, you know, drishti is a subtle thing. It's not about you're physically eye to eye. And so I think what's changed is that I feel the relationship is more intimate because it's more continuous. And I'm very grateful for that, because it gives me a lot more ease and comfort in my life generally. And a lot more security in my life generally. And so when you then come in front of Baba at that time, it's like very natural meeting somebody you know so well, your most intimate friend, your most, you know, mother, father. But it's a feeling of friendship and, you know, and being with the beloved, actually, more even than mother and father. That's interesting, I'm saying that because I'm thinking as I'm saying. But the beloved and the friend is more for me now, I think, than it ever used to be. And it's because that meeting is not, it's like there isn't a separation between being in front of Baba, which I love to do. I mean, I'm never going to say, well, I have a nice connection with Baba, I won't come to Mother Bun and come in Baba's meeting. It's not like that. That's, you know, but it's like it's more of a whole life experience. I think I put it that way.
I remember Didi Manmohini. Didi Manmohini was appointed as the co-head of the BKs with Daddy Prakashmani when Sakar Baba left the body. And I remember her sharing her experience. She said, when Baba was around, she didn't make much effort. Baba was there, and it was, you had that loving presence. It was so natural, the relationship. When Baba left, she said that's when she really began to make effort to have a more subtle connection. And I've been thinking, you know, that we've been observing Baba's meetings becoming shorter and shorter. And I didn't know, my sense last year, I remember thinking that didn't know how right, but it was almost like the role of the teacher and the Satguru is merging a bit, but the mother and father giving love is very much there. But it almost is like Baba is withdrawing a little bit, but I think it's a part of our learning to really develop a much more subtle connection and make it real. And I think in the last year, my whole thing is, you know, I think the devotional relationship is sort of a belief, and a belief is very powerful, but the presence of Baba making it so real, so present, that it's not just a belief that I'm connecting with, it's a real presence. And I think that's what Baba, and often I can remember in the days in Pandav Bhavan, Baba used to say, I'm coming in two nights, if you practice the avyakt form, Baba will give you special experiences. Do you remember that? And really we used to have long yoga bhatis and really be in silence, and many of us had really unique spiritual experiences because we were really trying to be there, and Baba was in that subtle...
He was working on us.
And it was like, if we make the effort, Baba was giving the reward. And I was thinking, even in the next 24 hours, to try to be in that state. I often feel Baba's in that subtle world. We're still in the world of sense organs and this physical paradigm, but to really try to be in Baba's world. Because I think when Baba comes, then the subtlety of who he is and how he gives to us in such a subtle way becomes more real. And that's what Didiji was really saying. And I was remembering that Didi Manmohini, when Baba used to come for years in the early 70s, when the Muli finished, do you remember that they used to pull up that little cushion and Didi used to sit in front of Baba?
Mm-hmm.
She'd sit in front of Baba and lean on her fist. And Baba spoke such deep things. And I remember twice Baba said, Baba can speak to you in public, but only you understand what Baba is saying.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. Such a subtle connection, you know, such a deep understanding. Baba was speaking, everyone was hearing, but she was really absorbing it at the level that Baba was really speaking. Baba said openly twice. That really fascinated me. Do I hear it as Baba is saying it, or am I interpreting it really according to my own thinking?
That's a very interesting thing to ponder on, isn't it? In preparation for tomorrow. Very interesting.
Anyway,
oh, thanks for the chat.
Yeah, thank you. Just reminiscing on some, and there's so many in this hall that could do the same,
yeah.
And perhaps that'd be a lovely thing to do, because the feelings of the relationship with Baba become very present. So we're going to have an hour's meditation.